morning and welcome to the Narrow Path Radio Broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg, and we are live from 9:30 to 10 each weekday morning, including today. And we can take calls from listeners like yourself if you have questions about the Bible or about the Christian faith or anything remotely related to those topics. Give me a call. The number is 1-800-227-5278. That's 1-800-227-5278. Our lines are open right now if you want to get through with any questions you have about the Bible or Christianity, or if you have a difference of opinion from the host and would like to balance comment, you're always welcome to do that. From time to time, I'll get an email from somebody who disagreed with something I said, which is fine, but it's actually nicer if you call and disagree. And the reason would be because if I say something that's wrong and you send me an email about it, the listeners don't get to hear all of your points unless I agree with them and bring them up as a self-correction on the air. But actually, see, even if I don't agree with your opinion, you can share it here, and maybe others will agree with it. That's fine. The point of the program is not to just showcase the views of this host. The purpose of the program is to explore the scriptures and understand better what the Bible teaches about the Christian life, the Christian faith. And so if you have any questions about those things, the number is 1-800-227-5278. That's 800-227-5278. I have received some questions by way of post and email. This one came on a postcard from Shirley in La Verne, California. And she said, I've been listening to your program for the last few weeks. I enjoy it very much. Have you written any books or had anything in print? She says, I learn best by reading. Please explain on the air. And this is a second question. Are all the Arabs descended from Ishmael? Well, as far as the book question goes, I have a book in print. It is called Revelation Four Views, a Parallel Commentary by myself, Steve Gregg. This is a commentary on the book of Revelation that has four columns under each passage, and it traces four completely different views of Revelation all the way through the whole book. The book's published by Thomas Nelson. It's been in print for about 13 years, or 14 years, going on 14, and it's still available from booksellers pretty much everywhere. I would recommend you get it from christianbook.com or from amazon.com. I do not sell it, so don't ask me to send you a copy. I don't sell anything in this ministry. I don't even sell my own books. But it's called Revelation Four Views, a Parallel Commentary by Steve Gregg, and you'll find it, like I say, at the normal book-selling places. Now, as far as Shirley's other question, are all the Arabs descended from Ishmael? Nobody knows that for sure. It is believed that the Arab people are primarily descended from Ishmael, but there's been a lot of different ethnic groups that have mixed in the Middle East over the millennia. And, of course, it's not really possible to exactly trace all of their lineages back to their earliest ancestors. It is generally believed that Arab nations in general have traced most of their ancestry back to Ishmael. But, of course, some of them come from other places as well. It's common for Christians to talk about the Jews being descended from Isaac and the Arabs descended from Ishmael, and to see the ancient rivalry between those two brothers as continuing in the conflicts between Jewish and Arab nations today. There may be something in that. It's certainly a common place for Christians to talk that way. But actually, I've actually read some Christian material that said that the Bible claims that there will be continuing hostility between the people of Ishmael and the people of Isaac. And I've never actually read that in the Bible. And I have read the whole Bible many times through, over 30 times through. I don't believe that the Bible does predict that Ishmael and Isaac's descendants will be perennial enemies. It may be that they will be, but I don't know that that's predicted in the Bible. And, of course, it's not known for sure how many of the modern Arabs are really descended from Ishmael, but it's a good chance that lots of them are. That's about the best we can do since we don't have exact genealogical records going back. With nomadic people, and Bedouin people who, you know, travel around rather than settle down for centuries, it makes it very hard to really go back and find exact family trees. I'm watching my switchboard here, and it looks to me like several lines have lit up, but I'm not really seeing any names on my screen, so I'm not sure if they're not appearing because of a problem or if there's no one there. Maybe a call screener can let me know in my headphones if I'm not seeing something I'm supposed to be seeing. You're listening to The Narrow Path. My name is Steve Gregg, and you can call me here at 1-800-227-5278. Now, I see that Mary from Riverside is calling, but it doesn't look like her line is lit up, so there's a bit of a problem here. There we go. Her line is lit up now. I've been having a little bit of strange behavior with the phone systems, it looks like. Let's talk to Mary from Riverside, California. Mary, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling. That is strange behavior for the phone system. Perhaps my producer can let me know if there's calls waiting and what line they're on, because my visual screen is not really telling me the truth, it looks like. All right, if you want to get through, we will get you on the air by hook or crook. The number 1-800-227-5278. If you have any questions about the Bible or if you have a disagreement with the host, feel free to call. I received another question from a listener named Victor. This one came by email. He said, "Hi, Steve. I like to listen to your show. I have a question that is going around in my head for a while. On the one hand, we are under grace and not by our works." I think he means we're saved by grace and not by works. "But on the other hand, we have to obey the commandments that God gave us, like the Ten Commandments and many others. So Christ came to fulfill the law and not to abolish it. Why do you say the tithing is not something for Christians that they have to do?" He said he's a little confused about the role of the law in the life of a Christian. And he is correctly informed. We are saved by grace. We're not saved by keeping the law. That doesn't mean that we are under no obligation to behave well. The question, of course, of how we are to behave is not explained the same way by all Christians. Some believe that we have to keep the Ten Commandments, whereas I believe the Bible teaches we have to keep the commandments of Christ, that Jesus is our Lord, and what Jesus taught is the assignment for Christians who are his disciples. Jesus said, "If you continue in my words, you are my disciples indeed." And he also told the disciples to go out and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. So the things that Jesus commanded are the job description for the Christian life. Now, the Ten Commandments, of course, there is some overlap between the Ten Commandments and things that Jesus said, but it's not identical. For example, Jesus never said anything about keeping the Sabbath, whereas the Ten Commandments do. And for that reason, there is dispute among some Christians as to whether the Sabbath must be kept by Christians. Those who say we must keep the Ten Commandments would, of course, believe we have to keep the Sabbath, because that's the fourth commandment. Those who say that we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments, but we have to keep the commandments of Jesus, would say, well, the Sabbath then is not one of the commandments that Jesus gave, and therefore not part of the duty of the Christian to observe. And I would be of the second opinion. That is, I don't believe that Jesus ever taught Sabbath keeping. He also didn't teach tithing, and that's what this Victor who wrote to me is asking about. Why do I say that we don't have the obligation to tithe? The reason I say that is because there's nothing in the New Testament that suggests that Christians are obligated to give a 10% gift to the local church, which is what tithing usually means to people today. I believe in giving. In fact, I believe we should give a lot more than 10% if we can, and most of us can. I don't believe in tithing, because tithing is a rigid, legalistic 10% of your income given away to God. I believe that everything belongs to God, and that we should give as much of it as we can to the causes that God believes in and that God cares about. Well, now our lines are filling up, and we've got a call from John in San Diego, first of all, today. Hi, John. Welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. My question was, it's kind of like I was wondering whether my interpretation of a verse, the implications of it, is correct or not. The verse is Genesis 2:18.
Okay.
"It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a wife for him or helpmate for him."
Yes.
Well, I see that as man's in total fellowship with God and without sin, and God sees something in him that says, not good that man should be alone. And so God decides to make him a wife, but he knows that if he makes him a wife, or when he makes him a wife, because of his foreknowledge, knows that when he makes him a wife, that the wife is going to be tempted, and she's going to fall, and then she's going to take the man with her. And that to fix the problem, he's going to have to send his son. And then, but his son is coming to get a wife, as well as die for the sins of the world.
Okay.
So to me, that verse seems super important, but I don't know. I've never read that kind of interpretation of the of that verse, and I just wondered whether that's off the wall or...
Well, when God said that it was not good for man to be alone, I think the reason he said it was not good is because it was not possible for God's purposes to be fulfilled with just one man on the planet. There had the world had to be populated. So remember when God made man and woman in Genesis 1:27, he said that they should be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, a man couldn't do that alone. He had to have a wife to do that. There had to be a woman and a man in order to have reproduction. Now, that is why I think it was not good for man to be alone. But there may be another deeper meaning, because in that same chapter, in verse 24, it says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And Paul quoted that verse in Ephesians 5. And he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so Paul says that Genesis 2 provides a picture of us, a picture for us of Christ and the church in relationship, like a bride and a bridegroom.
Right.
Therefore, it would be possible, as you say, I think, to say that when God said it's not good for man to be alone, he was not only talking about Adam. He could be talking about Christ. Adam is a type of Christ there. And as God wished for Adam to have a bride and made Eve, he also wished for Christ to have a bride and made the church, because Paul does link that story to Christ and the church. So you may not be too far off.
Well, then, plus, you know what's interesting in Genesis chapter 1, if you count the goods, God does something and it's good. There's six goods and one very good.
Yeah. Yeah, every day of the creation, he said it was good.
But then when
he made man and woman, he said it was very good. Yeah.
Right, and so you've got six, number seven, which is completion. So that's kind of... Then you end up in this not good problem.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, thanks, John.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. God bless you.
Bye
now. All right, our next caller is Sandy from San Jose. And Sandy, I don't know if you heard someone on my other program yesterday was saying, hadn't heard from you for a while. Sandy, hello. I've activated his phone, but I'm not hearing his voice. That is a problem. I don't know what's going on with our phone system today. We're really having some strange behavior of the phone system. Sandy, are you there? No, Sandy is not being heard by me anyway. Hello. Okay, I don't know what our problem is here. And so I'm not going to be able to talk to Sandy until we do. Sandy, I'm going to have to hang up the phone because I don't know what else to do. And if you can call back, maybe we can get you on. Let's talk to George from Sacramento, and hopefully his line will be working. Hello, George. Welcome to the Narrow Path.
Good morning, sir. How are you, Steve?
Good. I'm glad your line's working. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, let me get off the speaker here so I can hear you a little better.
That's a good idea.
The thing I was curious about is I was reading in Mark this morning where Jesus went into the temple or came back to the temple, and the leaders were kind of getting down on him because he had cleared out the temple earlier, you know. And my understanding of this verse is the parable he said to them where, you know, about the farmer and stuff like that, and then they didn't want to answer when he asked the question if John the Baptist was a mere mortal or if he was actually a prophet. And they were kind of afraid to answer the question because I think they figured if they go one way, they're going to be wrong. If they go the other way, they're going to be wrong, you know. And so then they said that they wouldn't answer because they were afraid the crowd would cause a riot or something, you know.
Yeah.
Is that my understanding?
Is there a question in this?
Well, I'm just curious, am I getting the point of what he was, the parable that he was using, you know?
I don't know. What is the point you're getting?
Well, did he actually say that they were being stupid the way they were talking, you know, that they wouldn't answer him? Is that, and then he told them that he wouldn't answer their questions? Is that basically, I'm understanding the passage right?
Well, yeah, I think the passage is pretty self-explanatory. That's its meaning, that they said to him, by what authority do you do these things? And he said, well, let me ask you a question. The ministry of John the Baptist, was that from men or from God? Now, they didn't want to answer him because either answer would be embarrassing to them. They knew that if they said, well, John's ministry is from God, then Jesus would say, well, then why did you not go and believe in him? And if they said his ministry is from man, they knew that would be a very unpopular view. Let's put it that way. The people believed that John was a prophet. So they said, we can't answer you. And Jesus said, well, then I can't answer you. Yeah, what he's saying is, if you're not going to be honest enough to admit where you stand on this matter, then I don't have any reason to give you any more information.
Right. Okay. That's what I was figuring, what he meant by that, you know. So I was correct then. One other quick thing, Steve. I've been reading through the Bible, and I just I did Revelations, and I did John, and then I'm doing Mark right now. What would you suggest to go through next? Maybe into the Book of Solomon or Psalms
that. Reading through the Bible doesn't usually start with Revelation and go to John, but I'd suggest going through the New Testament first, which would be from Matthew through Revelation, and. Or alternatively, go through the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, or Genesis through Revelation. I would read straight through rather than picking a book here and there. I mean, first of all, reading Revelation first isn't going to make much sense if you don't know the rest of the Bible.
I've been a Christian for many years, but yeah. I had read through it once before, you know, and then I was just kind of going back through and doing a little more study, you know, and doing it that way, so maybe I'm not doing it the way I really should do it to get the
I think it's more helpful. I think it's more helpful to read through it in order, because that's it's laid out that way for a reason. It takes you from the beginning of the story to the end rather than picking up pieces in the middle and bouncing around. But yeah, I mean, you can study any part of the Bible that you feel you want to study. I mean, a person can study the Book of Romans without studying the rest of the Bible if they want to. But if you want to gain the best understanding of any part of the Bible, it'll be to your advantage to read it in some order so you get some sense of continuity.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Stephen. I really enjoy your program. You have a beautiful day.
Okay, George. Thanks for your call.
God bless.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye now. Okay, our next call is Sandy from San Jose, who we were not able to activate before. Sandy, are you there?
I'm here. I somehow got disconnected.
Oh, hey, great. I'm glad to have you back.
Yeah, glad to be here. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to your show this morning from last night, or from your last night show, or driving the car with my son, and then I think it was Chad who said we missed having Sandy call on.
Yeah.
And you know what really occurred to me? It wasn't just hearing my name over the radio, although that wasn't a bad thing. This fellowship that we have on this radio program with you as the host, I'm closer to the people on this station than I am the people that sit in the pews right behind me at church. And,
well, you probably dialogue more with the people on this station.
Well, I do. You know, I do, and I think, you know, what's sorely missing within the Christian contemporary service is a dialogue. I mean, it's one thing to hear a lecture, and I think that's great. I listen to a lot of your lectures. By the way, I don't know the difference between a lecture and a sermon. I haven't quite figured out the difference, but I call them all lectures, you know?
Yeah.
And it's one thing
all
to listen
to. All of
mine
are lectures.
Yeah.
What's that?
I mean, what the heck's the difference? But the point is, the nice thing is when you're able to talk on the radio or have a dialogue with another Christian about a subject, you get edified. Example would be, you know, the pastor is talking about why you shouldn't steal or why you shouldn't cheat, right? We all know that's correct.
Right.
And it's one thing to hear from the pulpit, and that's, you know, yeah, we shouldn't cheat. It's another thing to be now a person who's a single-income person with three kids, no husband or wife, has a boss that's asking for you to cheat now on taxes, let's say. And it's one thing for you in the pulpit to say, don't do this. It's another thing for me to have a dialogue with someone who's has a problem to say, okay, let's talk about it. How are you going to deal with this? how are we going to talk mm-hmm. through this versus just hearing the lecture? And I think kind of going back to your radio program, what's so nice is we have the chance to dialogue with you and with other people. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it. It was kind of the main reason for my call.
Great.
But I wanted to also speak to, and I just forgot his name now, the Buddhist guy, the ex-Jew. What's his name?
Michael.
Mike. Someone called, he called, and you had him on for a while, and then someone had called and said you spent too much time with him.
Uh-huh.
I get a lot, and I like when you talk to him, by the way. I like when you call Mike. Call again. When people call, you know, trying with a different belief system, there's also a, Mike calls, there was also a guy, a Latter-day Saints guy, who was pretty good apologist.
Yes, uh-huh.
To me, when I hear you defend our faith, I grow from that. It's like, wow, great question. And so, you know, I encourage people who don't, you know, really believe what we believe to call because so I'm just sort of talking right now. I don't mean to be taking up time. But does this
actually, you know what? I'm almost out of time. I'm almost out of time here because this is only a half hour show.
I understand.
But yeah, I agree with you. I like it when people who aren't Christians call so we can dialogue with them. I think it probably is, it could be good for the caller himself, it could be good for me, and it might be good for people who are listening over our shoulders.
That's really it, and I just wanted to make that point and say how much I love the program, love what you're doing, keep on doing it, and I'll call in the afternoon when I got more time, okay?
Okay. Thanks for your call, Sandy.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. Let's talk to Mary from Riverside, California. Mary, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Okay, I'll just come right out and say it. Is that your real name, Steve Gregg?
Yes, it is.
It really is?
Does that seem unusual to you?
Well, I've been here forever. I've been here half my life, California, but I'm from Minnesota, and I came out here all alone, and somebody told me, don't ever trust anybody with two first names.
Oh, don't trust anyone named Steve Gregg.
Okay. Well, now, here's another thing.
Okay.
I don't know if this is... I'm a little nervous about saying this, but are you aware of Andrew Womack?
Tell me who he is. I may have heard his name.
Oh, my gosh. He's my absolute favorite teacher, but I love this program, too. He's in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and he does the more. He's raised his son from the dead.
I'm not familiar with him. I've heard his name, but I have not listened to him.
Okay, because he, you know when Harry from Fallbrook calls?
Yeah.
I follow right along with him. It seems like Harry is watching the same show as I am. And when he asked you that question the other day about the healing, I said, oh, I was so disappointed. I said, oh, my gosh. I love your show so much. And you don't agree with Andrew about the healing.
No, I don't. I'm sure I don't. Yeah.
Because he said...
You see, because there are lots of teachers who believe that God has promised physical healing to anyone who has enough faith to receive it.
Uh-huh.
And that is basically the word of faith teaching. I don't agree with that teaching. I don't believe it's biblical. And I would like to, and I myself have been healed supernaturally. And I believe in supernatural healing. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in miracles. I just don't believe that you can find anywhere in the Bible that says that anybody who wants to be healed can be healed upon demand.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you too, but
yeah.
I was so disappointed last Saturday with missing you. You're going to come next month, this month, February?
Probably early March I'll be down.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mary, I appreciate your call.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Well, the show's been a little unusual today because first of all, it took us a while to get the phones to work. About half the program went by before we got the phones working. And then we've had callers with a lot of personal kind of interest calls. If you have any questions about the Bible, we have just a couple minutes left. If you'd like to get on, our lines are open. The number is 1-800-227-5278. That's 227-5278. Just for those of you who heard a moment ago when Sandy was talking about Michael, the Buddhist, Michael doesn't actually call this morning program because this program is broadcast in Southern California and in the San Francisco Bay Area. And Michael lives in Santa Cruz, and he calls my afternoon program. And also I have a Sunday evening program on a non-Christian station, a secular station, and Michael calls that too because he's a Buddhist. And if you're interested in that particular program on Sunday nights from 7 to 8, I actually have a program called The Road to Find Out, and it's for non-Christians to call in. Maybe you're not a Christian and you're listening right now, and you'd like to call in, but you're maybe intimidated to call on a Christian station. Well, Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, I have a program for a non-Christian audience and for non-Christian callers, and I like to dialogue with them. That program can be heard on the Internet. You'd have to go to KSCO.com. That's KSCO.com on Sunday nights at 7. You could hear the program streamed. But Michael is a Buddhist, a Jewish man who became a Buddhist, and he calls and talks a lot. And actually Sandy, who called me just a few minutes ago, is Jewish also, but he's become a Christian. So I've got Sandy, who's a Jewish man who's become a Christian, and Michael, who's a Jewish man who's become a Buddhist, and they're both regular callers on my show. Now our lines are lighting up. I'm sorry to say we're only going to have time for maybe one call if I can find out who the caller is early enough to take that call. Let's, what shall we do? I'm waiting for that name to appear. All right, we just might not really get these calls on. I hope we can. You're listening to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg, and that music means we are out of time, which means all the three callers that are waiting, I'm sorry. If you called earlier, we might have got you on. Or who can say, with the technology doing what it's doing today, maybe we wouldn't have. Tomorrow is another day, and we hope that we'll be able to, well, not tomorrow, we're going to have a weekend. So Monday will be another day of broadcasting. And hopefully we'll get all this stuff worked out so that we can be talking to the callers without technical interruptions. You can go to our website. It's thenarrowpath.com. There's a lot of free resources there for you. The Narrow Path is a listener-supported ministry. If you'd like to help us stay on the air, you can donate there, too, at thenarrowpath.com. Thanks for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend, and tune in again Monday. We'll continue our discussion.